Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry.
We're so happy you joined us today for a great teaching.
Yes, thank you. We're teaching on a topic called the Prince, Sar in Hebrew. And our ministry is called For His Glory, in which we help teach you the deeper teachings of God through Hebrew eyes, helping see the customs and culture, traditions and understandings through the language, through the Hebrew language, the original and God-given language, communicating divine thoughts in terms that a human can understand it. And you need the understanding of the Holy Spirit. So if you do not yet know the Lord, come and join us. Learn of Him. And it's our desire that you have a living and vibrant relationship with Him as Lord and Savior, because He is good, He is God, and He is great. Mm-hmm. And He has only that which is good for you. So come and join us. Come and see and behold your God, Yeshua. God in the flesh. Now, this teaching on the Prince, Sar, is a teaching drawn from our tape series called Winning the Warrior's War, Winning the Warrior's War, which is available from our Fulfillment Center at 1-800-247-6553. I'll repeat that in a moment, and you'll have it again at the end of the show. You can also go to our website, forhisglory.org, and on there you'll see we have a Fulfillment Center that takes care of all the orders for the tapes that you're welcome to come and see and what the titles are. Just jot down the number of 1-800-247-6553. Now, Sar is a familiar term to us because it's used in reference in the Bible with Yeshua Ha'adon, Yeshua, Jesus, the Lord. And it refers to the Lord in one of His many of His divine titles. You see in Isaiah 9:6, or in the Hebrew Bible, verse 5, that He is called Prince of Peace. You've heard that title?
Oh, yes.
Prince of Peace. Now, but what does this word Sar, Prince, mean? And how is it used as a root, in other words, that could unlock for us such treasures of truth that when we know the truth, that truth that we know or experience, that we become intimate with, will then set us free? What do people sometimes say, Danielle, that the truth will
set us free?
All right. What do you think about?
Well, it should be knowing the truth will set us free.
Ah, yes. If the truth set us free, just as it's stated, then we would see everybody free.
Right.
We don't see that in point of fact. We see often, unfortunately, too much of the opposite.
Right.
So she's referring to John in the Gospel according to John in the New Testament, chapter 8, verse 32, that we're told, you will know the truth, K-N-O-W. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the truth that you know.
Having knowledge of the Word of God.
Now, that's part of it.
Will set you free.
That's part of it.
Okay.
The term to know in Hebrew, yada, Y-A-D-A, comes from the Hebrew infinitive, lada'at. And lada'at means to know, but it is also the same term used for sexual intimacy, of course, within a context of covenantal marriage. Therefore, it is intimate knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a knowledge that it's not just to know about, but it's experiential. Knowledge. So the knowledge which you acquire through the Word of God must be experienced. Then as you experience that, when you know the truth, when you experience the truth, you become one with the truth through intimacy with it, becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
That truth that you experience will set you free. A little different, isn't it?
Yes. Very much so.
So let's not just memorize verses, people. The purpose of the Bible is to do the Bible, not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And you are to do it until it has done you.
Mm-hmm.
You become that verse. We can repeat the same verse for 80 years, and we can know it in our sleep, but we just know about it unless we've experienced it, and that Word has become flesh in our life. So a good test for all of us that the Lord gave me some years ago, and it's very convicting, not condemning. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Conviction, yes. Condemnation, no.
Mm-hmm.
Conviction's good to have. It sets you straight, puts you on the right path, and keeps you straight. So the Lord brought to my attention, how much of the Bible do you know? Not memorized, not able to read merely in Hebrew or Greek, which are wonderful to know, and for me, requirements. But How much of it have you experienced, and to the point that you are intimate with it, to the point that you are that verse in a life application, that you evidence it in your life, that people see that? Jesus was so much the Word, being the incarnate Word, and He lived it out in every detail, that He was called by some of His early followers as HaTorah, mm-hmm. the Torah, the living Torah of God. He was, is, and ever will be, and His people are His body, so we should be the same. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm, it is.
Now, let's go back with studying Sar Shalom, right? There's talking about Sar related to Sar Shalom. Now let's go back to Sar.
That's Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace. Now we're going to focus on the word Prince, and that's critical because we have to understand this here. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. And the word is so important that if we don't get this very clearly, we'll be in lots of trouble. Because in life, it's also what you don't know that hurts you. That's pretty understandable. Matthew chapter 5, that's in the New Testament. Chapter 5, verse 18. For truly I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or least stroke shall pass away from the Torah until all is accomplished. Now, it makes a point here that the least stroke, right? The smallest letter is the yod. Mm-hmm. Or least stroke. The least stroke is like that little flourish on top of a Hebrew letter.
Right.
And those are called coats. You know, like in English, phonetically, it'd be like to wear a coat, but plural. Coats.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Coats is a thorn. Now, here's an interesting point.
The word coats is in Hebrew.
Right. The word coats is Hebrew
right. For
thorn.
Okay.
And that's what each of those letters has on top of it in the Hebrew script, in the Hebrew lettering, that on top of many of the letters, you'll see they wear a coat. They wear thorns.
Mm-hmm.
The scribes put that in over the centuries, and some consider them very ornate, but not even part of the text. However, Yeshua says, not the smallest letter, that's the yod, or any of those thorns will pass away from the word. Heaven and earth could pass away, but my word won't pass away. So Yeshua drew our attention to the fact that each of those letters wore a crown of thorns. But that's interesting. Did Yeshua wear a crown of thorns in the Bible?
He certainly did.
She's right. Danielle's right. In John chapter 19, he's telling us it's a prophetic aspect. 19:2, John, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. Yeshua wore a crown of thorns on his head.
And Yeshua was the Word.
Exactly. Yeshua was the living Word. And his written Word, the letters each wore a thorn on top of it, which is where you'd put a crown. Perfect.
Yes, yes.
So the word wore, the written word, its letters wore crowns
of many
on a head of thorns, and
wow.
Yeshua on his head as the living word.
Wow.
Well, oh, look what the Holy Spirit is just showing me now.
Wow.
This is interesting.
It is awesome.
Because the thorns that were put on, it's believed were added on by scribes later. Not part of the original text. Okay?
You mean in the written word?
In the written word. The words are the same, the letters are the same, but they put these ornate flourishes on top that are called, it's a coats, a thorn.
Thorns.
Now, a coats is a thorn. Man put that on. In John 19:2, man made a crown of thorns.
Yes.
And put it on Yeshua.
Yes.
In the written word, man put the thorns on the written word. Man put a crown of thorns on Yeshua's
yes.
head.
Yes.
Man also put it on the written word of God, the thorns. They drew it on the letters.
Oh, I see.
And man made a crown of thorns and put it on the living word's head.
Yes. Yes.
Man wrote and put it on the written word's head. So they had in the place you'd wear a crown, thorns on the letters, the living word, also wore a crown of thorns made by man. Both thorns were made by man. Interesting. And in Genesis 3:18, we see following the sin of Adam, this was part of the curse as amplified by the sin of Adam, resulting in the cursing, right, of the earth. In Genesis 3:18, we see that thorns, coats, and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Thus the Word made flesh for us took our sin and curse and wore it for us upon himself and in his body to do what? To take away the sin
of the world.
Exactly, the sin of the world in John 1:29. John the Immerser, or John the Baptist, is saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And through this restore all things in the heavens and the earth, first and foremost to restore the lost, the lame, and the lonely man back to fellowship, favor, and fullness with God."
Mm-hmm.
Back to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, who is and who was and who is to come. Blessed be the name of God. Amen. Now, you all heard the term Besorah, the gospel, right? Gospel, right? You say the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that's familiar to many, but to Hebrew, you would say the word
Besorah.
Besorah. Besorah, B-E-S-O-R-A. Again, B-E-S-O-R-A.
Besorah.
Is gospel. Now it's interesting, the root of the word besorah is basar, B-A-S-A-R. Now remember, the gospel is the good news, the euangelion of the Greek. Good news. We have good news, people. God's not angry at you. He reconciled all things to himself through the Son of God, the Son of Man, Yeshua HaMashiach, Hu HaAdon, Jesus the Messiah, the Lord. Now, the term besorah, gospel, in Hebrew, the root of it is basar, B-A-S-A-R. Again.
Basar.
Perfect. Thank you, Danielle. Basar, mm-hmm. which means flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. Flesh has something to do with gospel? It must. The term gospel, the root of it is the term flesh. I want you all to turn quickly to John chapter 6. Verses 51 to 55, and we're going to read that in a moment, because the term gospel has something to do with the word for flesh or meat. People, it has everything to do with it, and Danielle's going to read that for us in John 6, 51 through 55. Please.
I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink."
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Explain that one to me.
So you see how he speaks. Now let's stay focused on this part. Basar, flesh.
Yes.
He says what? Danielle read it for all of us here. That his flesh has been given for the life of the world. Isn't it interesting that Jesus talks about in John 6:51, I'll just read the first verse again, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." So his flesh is the bread. He is the giving his body, his flesh, for the life of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving it in exchange for the world. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 1 and then 14, it says, and the word, let's go there together. John chapter 1, first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see the Word himself, the Logos, all right, from Logos in Greek, mm-hmm. we transliterated Logos. He becomes flesh and dwells among us, or eskenosen, tabernacles among us. Now, that's very interesting, because basar, let's put three things together. We have gospel, besora, we have basar, which is flesh. But what was the topic we started out all together with here today? On sar.
The prince.
S-A-R, prince. Now, yes. Remember that, that's S-R. But what is that term? Basar, sar, b-sar, basar. Wait a minute. If I listen carefully, and the letters are the same in Hebrew, I have ba-b-sar, S-R, b-s-r as a root. Mm-hmm. Or bait, bait, seen, which is in the dots on the other side, making it a scene, but the same letter. And then r.
Reish.
Reish, perfect. Basar. But the first letter is one, but the next two are the roots. Sar. But the sar means what? It means?
Prince.
Perfect. Means prince. Now, what is the word, if I take it one more level deeper, the bait b sound, the b sound, is after bait, or Beit Lechem, Bethlehem, house of bread.
House of bread.
Beit means house, Beit, house. So if you go deeper into Hebrew and you look at it as a two-letter root, sar, what is a deeper meaning of basar, which means flesh? House of the warrior, prince.
Yes.
House
yes.
of the prince. Mm-hmm. Whoa, wait a minute, that's a prophecy. Basar means flesh.
Right.
But God's saying that flesh will be a house for the prince himself.
Right.
The flesh, basar, will be a bait sar. It'll be a bait house. Bait sar, a house for, or a house of the warrior prince. So it tells us that the warrior prince will incarnate right. into the right. world. Mm-hmm. And the basar, which is his flesh, is going to be given for the world, for the life of the world. He's going to give it, which forms the root understanding, as he gives his life for the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he took it all the way at the cross through crucifixion and by paying every sin price for all time and all time domains of everyone's body, soul, and spirit. Virtually inconceivable, people, what was accomplished in our time domain of 6 hours. Unbelievable mm-hmm. in that time frame. What was compressed and done in dimensions we don't know. He cleansed everything in the heavens and the earth for us. And for that, we say forever, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And amen. So we see that the besora, the gospel, tells us when we look at the root of sar, that it has something to do, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the warrior prince. And why do I say warrior prince and not just prince? Because a prince would first war over something, and what he won he and became reigning over, he would be prince over that which he had won. So the gospel, besora, is we see an understanding of that through his flesh, basar, which was given for the life of the world, and it tells us that he would come into the world, bait, through the house, which is the house of the sar, warrior.
Warrior prince.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Now, that's pretty amazing. He became a man like us. Now, Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, and Hebrews 10, 5 and 6, I'll give you just as references for the moment, that tell you that God prepared a body for him. So it's clearly understood that he would come in form, in a body. And we see that the term basar was going to be the house of the warrior prince, and that became as he gave his flesh for the life of the world. The good news, the besora, the good news. The house of the warrior prince. And if you study the word besora carefully, you'll also see a vav in there. So you see the house of the warrior prince, who was a crucified man. That's getting deeper. Now the term sar, itself, prince, also translates chief, mm-hmm. leader, captain, general, ruler, prince, nobleman, in an etymological dictionary by Ernest Klein on page 680. In a Hebrew lexicon, Brown, Driver, Briggs, and Gesenius is translated chieftain, chief ruler, or official. Now, at a deeper level, you see that in the Hebrew, sin and resh, the one who destroys, let's look at the letters. Mm-hmm. The sin or shin in Hebrew is named after
teeth,
right? Like a tooth. And what right. do you do with your teeth?
You chew,
consume.
You consume, destroy.
Perfect, destroy. So sin and resh, we're looking at this at a deeper level, people, to
right.
get much deeper here. So the warrior prince for you, he will destroy. Resh means the highest or the head. So the warrior prince destroys the head. In ultimate terms, we see Christ is the royal fighter.
As you can see in this teaching, every Hebrew letter is very important. It has a meaning.
Yes.
And when you know the meanings of each letter, you can see deeper into the Bible.
She's exactly right. And in our tape series, Winning the Warrior's War, we go over each of the Hebrew letters in great depth and its Christological significance. And I recommend heartily you get that to go to the deeper understanding. Now, Exodus 15:3, we see that the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, Yahweh Ish Milchamo, Yahweh Shemo. And he destroys, we see, the head of Satan in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman will destroy the seed of the serpent. In Psalm 110, verses 6 and 7, we see that he will destroy or shatter the head over many lands. And that's a prophecy for the destruction, the head over many lands, that deals with the end of the tribulation period, where the Antichrist, the head over many lands, will be destroyed by the Messiah mm-hmm. himself when he returns. And you see amazing teaching on the Messiah in Psalm 110, which is a very important chapter to the Messianic Jew in the first century. We serve an amazing God. Now, I want to bring out two other points. We have only a little time. I have to refer you primarily to the tape series on it. If you study the term tithing, ma'aser, you hear those two letters at the end, ser,
sar
is in there. Because tithing has something to do with the warrior prince. And if you look at the term tithing carefully, it really means at a much deeper level, all right? Ma'aser, to strengthen your insight into the warrior prince.
Wow, that's great.
So when you tithe and sow to the Spirit, you can sow to the Spirit to reap the things of eternal life, to reap eternal life. When you sow to the Spirit, I put my hand over the tithe and I pray that it will open me up to see, to strengthen my sight and insight into the warrior prince, because he's won the war and I'm the fight from victory, not for victory. So the tithe is then used to touch those things of the Spirit, and that will then open me up and prepare my step that he's already gone before me to win.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more. You'll have to go to our tape series, Winning the Warrior's War, which you'll see on our website, forhisglory.org. He is the warrior prince. He's won the war. He's given us the victory. We have to learn to appropriate by faith what is provided by grace and be persistent and diligent in all that we do. Have a faith that doesn't fail. Have a faith that goes forward, that continues and stays strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.